Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
After the hour of 12 in this, the month of May, in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed, getting out of the ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We thank you for coming along. We are live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You smell that? That smell, that aroma, that scent in the air? It is the scent of genius. It is the approaching stench of the greatest show ever. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All other programs which might previously have been thought to be genius will now pale in comparison to this exercise in broadcast brilliance that we are now foisting upon you. Like so many foisted things. It's 503-733-2970. Or rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up today, all alligators, all the time. We have at least... this is just as of now. Now, within the last few minutes, within the last, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes, somebody else may have been killed, but we've got two arms found inside an alligator, two other people dead, an old woman pried from an alligator's jaws, and Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio Atlanta will be on to talk about all of these things. It's fantastic. It's a reptilian uprising of the most terrifying sort. We have the most bizarre penis watch of the last month. And then we will be doing our National Enquirer recap today with the following keywords: Whitney, Swayze, Kennedy, and McCartney. What else? Top five Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time, as submitted by listener Kurt. Now, we were going to get to that Friday, but then there was the whole Corky Scotty J business, so we didn't. So we'll do that today. Top five Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will join us later to talk about something or other. Oh, it's at Surf City, USA. Where is it?
Huntington Beach, California.
Huntington Beach. I don't really care about that, but it's an excuse to talk to Jim Roop and to talk about how we are the City of Roses, which is an embarrassingly sissy-like moniker, regardless of who one is. So we'll talk to Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles later on. What else? Oh, and Peter Carlin will be here to wrap up The Sopranos, which is becoming more and more superfluous and pointless because The Sopranos is becoming more and more unsatisfying and unfilling with every passing week. It's like some sort of a bad fast food meal that you feel like you ought to be enjoying it, you just don't. The show ends and you feel like there's been no show in their show lately. But we'll talk to Peter Carlin about that as well. Like us at 3, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. It's 503-733-2970. That is all the... And we'll continue our countdown to the implosion of the Trojan nuclear facility there in Columbia, which no one will be allowed to watch. Although Coyne is going to be... Now, Coyne's going to be filming it, aren't they?
I don't know. No, but I drove by it this weekend, and I almost crashed my car like 6 times trying to take pictures of it with my phone.
Oh, I thought you almost crashed into it.
No. Did you get all misty-eyed about it?
I did. Yeah. It still is my favorite landmark.
All right.
It's like our Statue of Liberty.
It really is true. Because I was reading, because we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Cyrex Dillon, who has a special fondness for and attraction to the Trojan nuclear facility. And we were talking last week about how, because they're going to be imploding it, is it this coming Sunday? It is.
7 a.m.
This coming Sunday, 7 a.m. And I had this whole plan about how I wanted us to go a field trip, and they're going to go watch it. We pack a sack lunch, and then we go and we hang out Ingalls family style in the high weeds and watch it. It turns out that they're blocking the highway in both directions. The park is closed. The mountain is closed. You can't
fly closed
over. And the river's closed. Mm-hmm. I don't even understand how you close a goddamn river, but apparently they do it. So they go to the river's going to be closed 5 miles in every direction.
Chernobyl style.
I'm foiled there. What's that?
Chernobyl style.
You're not able to get near it at all, which does, by the way, sort of make me doubt the veracity of their claim that the public is going to be in no danger when they implode, you know, the nuclear facility. By the way, it should be noted that all the scary, glowy, radioactive, give you a thyroid the size of a softball parts, are no longer there because they've been taken out of the reactor and sent to anybody?
Genoa.
Yeah!
I bet there was a parade walking me.
Well, you know, your town develops some sort of a trademark, you just go with it. You know what I mean? Anyway, so we're not able to watch them anywhere, but apparently Coyne is going to be broadcasting it live on the television, which means that they're going to be filming it somehow. So you've got connections at Coyne. We should find somebody from Coyne who can tell us.
The fabulous Ole Olsen, who's one of the camera guys there. I bet he's going to be filming it.
Who?
I'm in with Ole. Ole, he's the camera guy.
Is that a real name?
It is. Well, that's not his real name, but that's what he's called.
Okay.
By the way, I was thinking about the city names, and we aren't just the City of Roses. We also have a really cool name. We're Naked City.
According to whom?
Because of all of our strip clubs per capita.
Is that true? Do mm-hmm. people call us that?
Yeah.
That's the first I've heard of that.
I think you're making that up.
I'm not.
You sure you're not just trying to start that? You're not doing a whisper campaign right now where you're trying to create the Naked City nickname?
Where do you think the store on Hawthorne got its name from?
I thought it was, isn't that the William Burroughs? No, that's the Naked Lunch.
Yeah.
Isn't it New York? I thought New York was the Naked City.
New York was the Naked City.
There are 8 million stories in the Naked City. Who said that?
No, that's from an old TV show.
All right. Well, whatever. Tim Riley's at the City Desk working on the following stories for you today.
We'll believe it when we see it. Nearer the Minutemen over W's alleged plan to put the National Guard on the Mexican border. America really loves the president, says Karl Rove. That's true, echoes Laura Bush, who says she feels nothing but love in front of every pre-selected audience she speaks with. And alligators may rival illegal aliens for posing a danger to Americans since they're eating them.
That's fantastic. We should do some sort of a pay-per-view cage match. All right, well, that's it. So we got all that stuff coming up today. I tried to see. I didn't do anything this weekend. This is, again, the part of the program where, for relatability's sake, I try to recap what has happened in the, 68, 69 hours since
did
we left.
Did you eat a lot of pizza?
I didn't. I ate so much pizza, you don't even. How did you know?
Because you do this every weekend because you're so good. You eat like 3 nutrition bars a day. And then on the weekends, you totally eat like 4 pizzas.
I've developed this complete binge and purge personality, too. I don't know what it is, man. I thought I had all my neuroses. Normally, as you grow older, there's normally sort of a neuroses bell curve. Where what, if you're somebody like me, you know, you're neurotic and weird and you get a whole bunch of obsessive, compulsive, anal retentive type A traits. And then by the time you're 30, 35, 40, so they sort of work themselves out and you become a more rational, well-balanced, forward-thinking individual.
Yes.
But when you become old, then you go nutty again. Then you become like my aunt who used to take her teeth out and throw them at the family dinner table. But that is not the case with me. I'm just becoming more and more wacky. Become even more weird about all the food. I no longer eat anything that remotely approaches real food. It's just bowls of sawdust and Atkins bars, and that's it. But then, of course, the weekend comes, and all I do is I just eat buckets of lard. That's all, man. Because I live not too far from this place. It's not a plug, by the way. It's just an observation.
The House of Lard.
I do live near the original House of Tacos, or whatever it is, the Taco House. That place on Powell, because there's the taco place, and then there's Cocktails and Dreams right behind it.
Yeah, I've been there.
Have you?
Yeah.
Cocktails and Dreams?
Yeah, I went on Jen Lane's Stripperama bus tour.
Is it terrible?
It's awful. Girls are standing in showers everywhere. It's like this room that's completely flat, like lit up with all these fluorescent different colored lights, and then girls showering in the middle in like these glass cages.
Come try our new shower room. All right. It's like that place. What is that place on Hawthorne? Dino's?
Dino's.
Isn't that a strip club?
It sure
is. With like strippers with one leg?
Yeah. And they have like bullet wounds and stuff.
That looks dangerously interesting from the outside.
It is. You should go in sometime. It is a treat.
Alone?
Every time.
No.
No. Every time I drive by Dino's, though, it's just some. Just making the observation. It's just some big diesel lesbian out front.
Every time. But the best thing about Dino's is that the girls' bathroom also serves as the changing room for the strippers.
Serves as the kitchen.
No, so you're literally crawling over these girls' duffel bags and shoes and hosiery and stuff.
Bags of delousing material. Yeah. It's always just some woman out front with a flat top who looks like meatloaf. That's... You know when the bus comes by? Sorry. Because we did that listener party, the Viper Room, which is just right by there.
Yep.
It's all kinds of unnerving. And there is in Portland sort of a... I know we're now veering away from relatability. But there is sort of a bell curve of where you can work as a stripper in this city. And I don't know what the apex is. It's probably wrong for us to judge the apex. But then on the downward side, you know where they end up. Because Mary's is somewhere. Which wrongly so, in my opinion. Because we're big fans of Mary's here. But
Magic Gardens, big fan of that place, too.
Oh, yeah. You and I and Greg went there that one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, never mind. I won't tell any stories about that night.
Wow, local and relatable.
Greg, who is also from Portland. I don't even know what I was talking about. Lard, cocktails. Oh, cocktails and dreams, taco house. Yeah, no, but I live near this place. I live near this place called Dina Cola's, which is an Italian restaurant on Powell's. And it's this, and it's, they serve, and you all, if anybody been there, you know what I'm talking about. They serve these pizzas, and they're like 400 pounds. It's exactly like Spaceman Pizza used to be.
Oh, that's so good.
It's like the pizza was like 17 bucks, but literally it's like 9 days worth of food.
So worth it.
And if you are a couple and you try to order the large, they won't let you. Like that, they warn you. Like you'll say, no, 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 I want a large. Remember, they're like, sir, you don't want a large. You're like, no, I really do. Sir, you do not want the large. These are not the larges you're looking for. And they will dissuade you from ordering the large because if you just order the small for two of you, I mean, you're eating on that thing like a caveman family on a mastodon over the entire winter. It's insane. I have some point. I don't know what it was. The point is I did nothing this weekend. I sat around. I sat around and wallowed in my own filth. Let's go to the city desk with Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. A couple of breaking stories here. Police investigating a fatal collision involving a Portland police officer on I-84. Very little information or the extent of injuries at this time. Westbound I-84 is closed from I-205 to the 39th Street overpass. One eastbound lane blocked for emergency vehicles. You're asked to avoid I-84 for the time being, but you're probably stuck in it by now, so it's too late.
Those traffic reports are completely pointless. I listened to them. Didn't you used to do those?
Yes.
A time saver traffic or whatever
it
was.
They paid my salary.
We both did.
But everybody knows that those traffic reports, they're just there to make you feel like you're learning something.
They're just there for me to read commercials in the middle of.
I still remember all those commercials.
Uh-huh.
Can you do one from memory?
Yes, we've done this bit before.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, I remember Remax Associates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't remember the bit. It's new to me. Go ahead. Do a Metro traffic time-saving whatever commercial now.
This report brought to you by Remax Associates. Buying or selling a home? Come to Remax for help. No one sells more homes in the Portland area.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Oh, I just spaced it.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I know a bunch of them. We used to have
You don't even know the words to the national anthem.
It's true.
All right.
But you know all the presidents.
Okay. Well, there you go. So if you ever need somebody to sit around your house and read your Metro commercials, they go. But those traffic reports are they're pointless. Here's a little secret from me to you. If you're out there listening to the traffic, it's always like 20 minutes behind. It's from some web page that hasn't been up. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. They're just making stuff up. What?
I'm employed by Metro Network.
Not Metro, but I mean the other people. Here's
okay.
Tim.
Okay, let's move along. Well, a man is dead after he was run over by a MAX train at the Rockwood Transit Center, 180th and Stark in Gresham last night. The man was in the crosswalk as the westbound train approached. The train, traveling less than 20 miles an hour, was unable to stop and ran over the man, severing both of his legs. He was rushed to OHSU, where he later died. They say all the warning signals on the train were working. The man just wasn't paying attention.
How do you not know? Okay, can we just say right now that these people who get hit by the MAX train are out there looking to get... They're either one of two things. They're either drunk, they're high, they're intoxicated in some manner, or they're wanting to get hit by a train because there's no way to not notice it.
Well, the thing is about these trains is... Mm-hmm. They don't look like they can hurt you. I mean, they don't look like the dangerous trains in old Western movies that'll run you over and kill you. They look like harmless toys that somebody put on the track.
They look like friendly little trains.
They do.
Friendly plastic tubes of fun.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about these trains, though, and I will agree with you on this point, that is deceptive, is that these trains, the MAX, they are not armed with the, what's it called, the cow catcher?
Cow catcher.
The cow catcher is the thing.
The whistle that goes woo, woo, woo.
Do they even have a whistle? They don't even they have a horn, right? They have like a...
Yeah.
Isn't that what they have?
Yeah. They have those clanging bells.
Yeah, the cow catcher is what makes those old-style trains look a little menacing.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no sympathy for anybody hit by a train.
So there. Time now for the Bushwash.
Here's your Bushwash.
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying,
hell,
that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man! That's my bird.
In a new poll comparing President Bush's job performance with that of his predecessor, a strong majority of respondents said President Clinton outperformed Bush on a host of issues. The poll of 1,021 adult Americans was conducted May 5th through 7th. By Opinion Research Corporation for CNN. It has a margin of error with 3 percentage points. Respondents favored Clinton by greater than 2-1. When asked who did a better job of the economy, 63% believed Clinton, 26% Bush, and solving the problems of ordinary Americans, 62% Clinton, 25% Bush. Moreover, 59% said Bush had done more to divide the country, only 27% said Clinton did. When asked which man was more honest as president, poll respondents were more evenly divided with the numbers 46% for Clinton, 41% Bush.
That's if you're George W. Bush, that's got to be the really astonishing and disheartening number. Mm-hmm. Is that an equal number of people believe that Bill Clinton is his honest? Bill Clinton! I mean, look, I love Bill Clinton and all, but come on! I mean, let's be honest about what we did. Let's not have any delusions about the delusions, Michael. Let's not have any delusions about where.
Come on.
All right, thank you. About who we're speaking about here. Anytime Bill Clinton is rivaling you in the truth-telling department, you are doing something very, very wrong. Second of all, I was way ahead of this. This is what, 2006, right?
I believe so, yes.
Back in 2000, I was saying that Bill Clinton, in 2000, and you know that this is true. And you may have denied it at the time, but now the truth has been revealed, and it's that I, once again, was on the right side of the issue. And I have my finger on the cultural pulse, as always. That if people could have voted for Clinton in 2000, they would have done it. They would have put him in for a third term. If they could have voted for Clinton in 2004, they would have done it. If they could vote for Bill Clinton tomorrow, they would do it. Which is why, by the way, if the Republicans don't get their crap together, they're going to get their asses handed to them by Hillary Clinton. Not only because it's a way to stick it to your stupid Republican in-laws, but because it's a backhanded way to get Bill Clinton back into the White House, which is what everybody wants. You may deny it. You may think that he's a weasel. You may think he's scum. All of these things are true. Doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is Americans would like to have Bill Clinton back as presidency, and you know it. It had nothing to do with whether you think he's a good president or not. Maybe he's a terrible president. I'm simply talking the electoral reality, which is that everybody wishes. Everybody is nostalgic for the Clinton era. Everybody. And it's not just because of 9/11. It's because in the Clinton era, you just didn't... In the Clinton era, you didn't walk around feeling like you had a camera shoved up your backside, for one thing. So, I'm telling you, man, it's Hillary's to lose right now. Good times.
Well, Karl Rove blames the war in Iraq for dragging down the president's job approval rating.
Yeah.
People like this president, said Rove. They're just sour right now over the war. He said Bush's likability ratings are far higher than his approval ratings. There is a disconnect because of the Iraq conflict, says Rove.
What is the likability?
Well, it's that stupid thing that they always talk about. This is the thing you heard Chris Matthews was saying this over and over again. It's the old... But who would you rather have a beer with? Just like that stupid canard that we just heard over and over and over during the last... Like it goddamn matters who I'd rather have a beer with. You know what? I'd rather have a beer with the Barney Gumbel from The Simpsons. Doesn't mean I want him in charge of NORAD missile codes. Jesus.
Well, Laura Bush said she does not believe opinion polls showing husband's ratings at record low levels. I just don't believe those polls. I travel around the country. I see people. I see their responses to my husband. I see their responses to me.
I eat the skin of babies.
As I travel around the United States, I see a lot of appreciation for him. A lot of folks come up and say, stay the course. In a separate interview on ABC this week, Laura Bush said her husband's popularity was suffering because the country is going through a difficult year. Mrs. Bush complained that when her husband's popularity was high, newspapers did not put that on the front page. Now that it is low, they take great delight in highlighting the fact.
Yes, yes, we do. And we will continue to do so as it continues to plummet.
Bush watch.
There's your Bush
He's
watch.
He's the president in residence, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
The best part is, by the way, when Hillary's elected, I've already got the theme. The Hillary watch is already... I don't even need to worry about it. It's one of those themes that does itself. Let's see. This is Mike in the Beeve. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Rick. You know, I was listening to you guys talking about Trojan and wanting to get close to the implosion there.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I think there's a little fact that you missed in reading the Yahoo article about it.
Right.
Is that there are actually still spent fuel rods supposedly safely ensconced in concrete bunkers or cases still on the property there.
Now, see, but the thing is, I was to understand, perhaps incorrectly, I was to understand that that everything that was nuclear and radioactive and Killy had been taken out of there and sent to Hanford.
But, you know, I mean, I heard the caller a few days ago say that the reactor had been shipped up there. I don't know anything about that one way or the other. But I did read on Yahoo just 2-3 days ago that there is spent fuel rod still on site.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, what?
Get the hell away. That's what I'm going to do.
Wait, do it. It doesn't matter. Look, I'm just going to tell you that it's on the banks of the Columbia River. If it's filled with radioactive things and all that radioactivity spills out when they implode it, you're going to end up drinking it one way or the other. Doesn't matter.
It's
going to end up inside your thyroid. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not next year. It'll be there eventually, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's...
Give up.
Really, I was going to say, as my grandmother used to say, well, what can you do? So, you know, when really.
If that one thing is enough. There's always something.
You know how it goes.
There you go. There you are.
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. Rick, subject line is, look out, jackass. The MAX train is as big as a house. How in the hell do you not see this monstrosity bearing down on your dumb ass?
It's not even a double wide.
No. Mike in Portland, signed Mike in Portland, cursing the MAX. Every single day. I was reading a big article about light rail this weekend, though, that we are, per capita, we have more people travel on light rail than any city except for San Francisco. People complain about the MAX, they complain about light rail, but man, you think traffic is bad now. If you didn't have the light rail, we would be screwed if we didn't have that.
Wait, do you have a story about the guy from this morning who got hit by the MAX?
Yes, it was our second story.
I think okay. We did that.
I'm sorry, I'm drinking my caffeine water.
We have caffeine. We have a caffeine-filled spring water, which
I'm still
is
waiting.
Here.
I didn't get a nap today. So
no, it has that. Good. It has that kind of.
They'll find any use for used coffee.
We have this local company that created all of this. And I won't mention the name for reasons that will become quickly apparent. But this company dropped off a whole case of this caffeinated spring water. Mm-hmm. And it had a big glossy brochure. And it tastes just like normal water. You'd never know it has caffeine in it.
It does taste like... Well, it tastes like my normal water.
Okay, is your water filled with dirt? Look, I'm not trying to slag on the product. I guess I am. It has a...
It doesn't taste like dirt. It tastes like water.
Okay. It has a little hint of dirt in it. In my opinion, that's why
it's
sitting in my office.
That's a good marketing statement.
Unconsumed.
It doesn't taste like dirt. It tastes like water.
I mean,
that's,
I guess
that's memorable.
I guess. I mean, if you, whatever. I mean, I guess if your water is coming out of a muddy hole in your backyard, then I suppose it tastes like that. It doesn't matter to
Where
me.
Where does this come from?
Some guy. Some guy dropped it off. I'm sure that I think they're still working the quirks out of the product. Although I will say, it does not bode well for them, because I know they have tried multiple times in the past to market caffeinated spring water to people.
Oh, it's awesome.
I feel hydrated,
and I'm feeling a little more awake.
That was Sarah Dillon who said that, so if you want to, there you go. So if you need a spokesperson, there she is.
It's dangerous, though, because this is my second bottle of it. It just tastes like normal water.
The problem with that caffeinated water is that's exactly it, is you don't realize that you're drinking caffeine, and a little later, Sarah, what? You know, and you just it totally all jacked up.
It does say that it's equal to a cup of coffee.
Yeah, no, I went to a poker game, and I brought a bunch of it with me, and I was just pounding it down like it was, because I was all, and I had bicycles, I was all dehydrated, and I was putting it down, and then later I'm like all yelling at people, and I'm like angrily throwing my chips into the pot, and Jax! Yeah! Wham! And he's all pissed off about everything. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is John, the trucker. I'm going to be out of range for a while.
Okay.
Pretty quick, because yes. I go south from you. By the way, you can't get a repeater or boost your signal, can you?
I'll get right on that.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I appreciate it. No, I probably will be around when Peter Carlin's on, but you were talking about the Sopranos being unsatisfying.
Yeah.
Did you miss out on the train going into the tunnel last night?
Oh, yeah that was... I didn't need to see that. I just
had to bring that up because I was afraid if I missed that opportunity now.
No, I...
Things like that.
You're talking about the big cuddle sequence?
I was more interested...
Oh, God, that was uncomfortable, but what made it funny was the train going into the tunnel, right? They cut...
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't have to be Fellini to figure this one out.
No, and Vito is...
Vito's man boobs were distracting.
Oh, that was nasty.
I know.
Yes. Oh, God, man.
With him being fondled?
A whole lot of sag.
If they'd taken that shirt off, I think I'd have thrown up.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
You know, on the Rick Emerson Show, we are tolerant of love in all of its many forms. I'm just saying that Vito Spatafore, or whatever his name is, he's an unattractive man.
Yeah, well, okay, Rick.
We
love you. We love you all, the truckers out here. We love you.
Thank you, sir.
Keep us awake very much. Just boost your signal.
All right.
Keep on that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Spread the word. All right, there you go.
Yeah, it was
all good. You know, The Sopranos, I will talk about it later. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll have a half an hour to talk about it.
I'm just saying, The Sopranos, they seem to take great delight in foisting unpleasant sex scenes on the audience. Like Tony and Carmella, and Tony and anybody, really. Yeah. There's been a whole lot of long, lingering Tony and Carmella makeout scenes that I could have done without. That whole Janice and Ralphie and the gun and the vibrating thing. It's all very unpleasant. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. You stay right there. It's the Ramones. Well, maybe that's the problem.
Like you have a filter?
No. No, filters are for sissies. Talking about water. So you can't tell the difference.
I can't tell the difference at all. It's just exactly like the water that comes out of my sink.
All right. We live in roughly the same neighborhood.
We do.
I don't even know where water comes from. I mean, I know in a general sense that it's hydrogen and oxygen. I'm just saying, like, you know, like you go up to Mount Tabor and those huge reservoirs up there. Like, is that what I drink? I don't know. I mean, I know that this makes me sound ill-informed. This is like that thing the other day when I didn't know what the hell May Day was. But I don't really, like, when I'm in my kitchen, I don't drink any sissified, stupid bottled water.
I don't know. You seem to be complaining a bit about the water.
I'm complaining about this water here, this caffeine water, which, again, it's a fine product. All I'm saying is that it doesn't taste like regular water to me. It does taste a little grimy. It tastes as though there's, like, maybe, like, imagine if you had a lot of water and then you put some talcum powder in it, swished it around a little bit. That's kind of tastes like to me. You can taste that there's something in there.
No, it tastes like if you have a cup of coffee and you rinse it up, but not completely, and then you put water in it.
Yeah, but see, why would I not just drink coffee? That's what I'm saying.
Because this has zero calories.
Coffee has zero calories. There are no calories in coffee.
Are you kidding me? I've seen how much cream you put in your coffee.
Well, cream has calories in it, but if you put in like a fat-free or like a whatever, the coffee itself has
actual
no calories.
Coffee has calories.
It has no calories in it.
You need to drink it black like a newsman.
I'm looking it up.
Once you go black, you never go back, baby. All right. That was obligatory. Wait, hold on. Where's the, with the, and the so forth with the... Oh, no, that's wrong.
Yeah.
We just encourage people to use comments.
No, that's wrong, too. I don't know what the hell we're doing. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970.
You're right.
About what?
The coffee doesn't have calories.
Of course I'm right, baby.
Rick, I know that you're making up half the stuff that comes out of
your mouth. No, it's water. It is fundamentally water. You know what else does have calories? Celery. Also pickles.
And grapefruit.
There you go. Time for timer. Here's, wait, what are we doing here? Oh, one or two or five?
I think one.
Hello?
It's me.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, Clyde Lewis, news at Ground Zero, Ground Zero Radio, ClydeLewis.com. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's a great day today. It's supposed to get hotter outside, I don't know. But I'm in a nice, cool office, so I don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Is there something wrong? Is everything all right? Because for you to start off a phone call by saying that it's a great day indicates to me that...
No, everything's great. Everything's fine. I just got some fantastic stuff to talk about today. I mean, this Saturday is the McMinnville UFO Festival. I'm probably going to be down there with bells on and probably, hanging out with all the people. There's going to be Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center there and Jesse Marcel Jr., who's the son of the guy who found the Roswell records. He's going to be there. He's going to be signing books. And they're going to be doing a Roar the Worlds play at the theater there. It's always cool to watch that.
Oh, I know. Okay. Yeah, because I've been through there. I've been through that town. Yeah. There's a whole, like, UFO motif.
Yeah, and the reason why is because the Trent family took a picture of one of the most interesting UFOs flying over their farm, and in fact, it's still to this day the most. It's never been debunked. It's always been, you know, they're always going, "How big is this picture? What is it?" They don't know what it is. It's always been their curiosity, and so it's been like 3 or 4 years. I've been in attendance at this thing, and I just show up, say hello to a lot of people who recognize me, and just kind of hang out with people and go to the parade. The parade gets bigger every year, and they have the coolest, you know, entries and stuff. But the War of the Worlds thing is a big radio play they're doing there, and what's really cool too is. Eric Busby, who is this guy who does radio plays, recently did one called The Byron Chronicles that he has on his website, and one of the characters mentions that he has an important thing he wants to get to Clyde Lewis at Ground Zero Radio, and I just thought it was kind of neat because it was something about some contagion that was loose, and that he said it would make a great episode of Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. So I thought it was kind of funny that they talked about that in a radio play.
Your life is not like that of other people.
No, it's not. Not at all. Right. And as a matter of fact, there's even more news. And I want to plug this, and I want to encourage every Rick Emerson listener and any Ground Zero listener out there that wants to come out and just have a good time. The History Channel, Ten Worlds Productions, is coming out with their video cameras and their crew, and they're going to be interviewing me, Larry John, Sadie Gregg, and Aaron Duran about the faked moon landing. And it's funny because, you know, this is a story that I can't escape from ever since 1997 when I said I didn't think we landed on the moon because I was ticked off at the Air
this,
Force.
Now, the fake moon landing is sort of your stairway to heaven. It
more
is the, if you were to die tomorrow, that's the thing that's going to be in your obituary. That's what they're going to leave
with. Even though I bow my head before, you know, everyone and say, yes, I unabashedly said that, yes, we did not land on the moon, and I have very many questions that I ask people, and I always end up getting, you know, yelled at, and I even got letters from NASA. You know, James Oberg at NASA wrote me a very nasty letter. A number of people are, and you know, and I'm not the guy that came up with it first. It was like people like Bill Kasing and Bart Sibrel and some other guy named Ralph Renay, who are all these big, you know, moon hoax advocates, and I'm just a guy who just said, well, you know, their evidence is kind of interesting. I'd like to talk about that. So now they're coming to me and they're saying, well, you said this and you said that. Now we want to put you on television and have you say it. And so we have a very good presentation we want to present at Dante's on the 22nd. So put this on your calendar.
So that's the History Channel. They're going to be out there doing a little filming.
Yeah.
Or doing okay.
Yeah, and they're encouraging people, and I'm encouraging people. Every time these people come out here, we had Penn and Teller come out a while ago. I encourage people to wear tinfoil hats. I encourage people to, wear alien costumes. Or
just dress like Klingons?
Yeah, dress like Klingons, dress like Star Wars people. I mean, the Boba Fett, Boba Fett's out there listening. I'm sure he can come out and hang out and bring his stormtrooper buddies. And
do the people at your normal work know what you do when you're not there?
I have a few people that always wonder what I really do, you know, and then when I go to your get-togethers, they ask me what I do when I'm not doing the Ground Zero stuff. And
you really are sort of like a weird, you're like a weird Clark Kent, parallel world Clark Kent thing, where you go into a phone booth and you come out as somebody weird and terrifying.
Exactly. I mean, it's a fun double life that I lead. And then tonight at Dante's, I'll be speaking again at 8:00. We're going to just talk about some interesting things from the new police state that we're living under, with the General Michael Hayden being the head of the CIA and the NSA, right, spying on the American people. And we have nice troops at the borders now, so we're now all a part of this great big gulag. And it's something that I had been talking about for many years, and finally it's transpiring. And then we go from being in the gulag to not going to the moon. So, I mean, you know, it's just a nice way of...
It's a whole evening of fun for the whole family.
Yeah, okay. It's like, you know, people will think I'm nuts, and they'll think I'm crazy. Oh, right. But, I mean, as you've said before, some of the craziest things I've said have come true.
It's true. Okay. Well, there you go.
Hi, what time does your thing start tonight?
Yeah.
My thing starts at 8:00, but I really would like to see a lot of people show up on the 22nd just to, you know, cheer on the History Channel, let them know that, you know, Portland is weird. I mean, like I say, Ground Zero Lounge is one of those phenomena that a lot of people, know about all over the world. And they wish they could come, but they can't. But a lot of people in Portland, some people still don't know it exists, and some people don't know who shows up. We get anytime we get undercover celebrities. We had Cheney's lawyer there one night, who grilled me on some of the things I was talking about when Dick Cheney was in town. I mean, of course, Pink was there. Lemmy's been there. I mean, it's just crazy sometimes what kind of things. Now we're going to have the History Channel there. So it's going to be some fun times on the 22nd.
So check it out at ClydeLewis.com, and then tonight at Dante's. All right, my friend. Let me know when you have a day off. We're going to have you in the studio.
Oh, sure. I'll do that.
Cool. All right. Take it easy. There you go. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. All right. It's 503-733-2978. Let me quickly get Lauren here. Lauren, you have something. Sarah says you have something interesting and short.
It's about Trojans. No, anyway. No, I was just saying that guy that called me was talking about the stuff that's stored on site.
Uh-huh.
That there actually is stuff stored on site, but it's... Because if it is 900 feet north of the cooling tower, it's impossible that anything will happen to it.
It's where of the cooling tower?
900 feet north of it.
Well,
that, That doesn't seem very far for how big that thing is.
Wouldn't 900 feet north be in the air? Oh, not up, but north. All right. Well, I'm sorry. I thought he meant straight up. It didn't make any sense
there. Yeah, they're storing them in an invisible box.
You shut your head! Be quiet.
The Wonder Woman box.
Just because you're all smart because you've been drinking super caffeinated water all day. Okay, so you're claiming what? It's impossible that any... Are you training for a job with the nuclear facility? Because...
No, actually, as they put it in the article, there's a Sunday pullout that I just happen to have with me. But it's a... As they put it in the article, experts say it is impossible for any of the debris to even reach the storage area, let alone damage the calf.
Yeah, okay.
Storage.
Yeah, whatever you say, friend.
It's a friendly Adam.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. And Karen Silkwood committed suicide. All right. Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Yeah. It's 503-733-2970. By the way, the subject line of this is Sarah and water. Sarah can't taste the difference because she's a smoker. And her taste buds have been desensitized.
Who is this Sarah they're speaking about?
I have no idea.
Weird.
Clearly somebody. Rick, if you live off Powell, you drink deeply from Mount Tabor. Did you know that beavers fornicate in that body of water?
Don't you remember when a transient fell into that?
No.
And drowned a couple years ago?
No, yeah. I don't remember that.
And they had to drain it.
You know, when they drown, they release their bowels. That's the worst part.
You drank bowels.
You didn't drink the bowels. You drank
a beaver's not that big anyway.
Okay, I'm not even gonna. No, I'm gonna get off this. I'm gonna back up from this off ramp right now.
But see, I don't think that smoking would have anything to do with tasting different tastes in water, because all water tastes different.
All right,
maybe my pipes are dirtier than yours, you know, in my house.
Okay, I'm just saying it's one of the like people. You know what bugs me is people who get all weird about what kind of water they drink and what. You just every time I go to somebody's house or you did some business, you're in some town and you go to drink tap water. Like if you've been, you drink tap water, right?
Yeah.
Right, because you're not a sissy. Everything you go to somebody's house, I'm gonna have some tap water, and then it's like they want to stop you. Have you noticed that?
Put it in the Brita.
And it's like, have you noticed that people in this
That's
country?
Tim just raised his hand.
Do you do that?
Yes.
I just want to smack people who do that. Not you, of course, Tim.
No.
Because I'm sure that...
I know you're not a violent person.
No, I'm not. I'm only violent inside. people in this country, they have this weird... And you know what I'm talking about. People in America, they take this weird pride in water supposedly being terrible where they live. And I don't understand why that is. Like, when is the last time you went to a town, went to a city, went over to somebody's house and like, have our tap water. It's fantastic. No one does that. Every time you meet somebody, they're like, oh, tap water, it's terrible. And it's almost like your weird Aunt Martha who's got to talk to you about, oh, and then I had pneumonia, and then the pain in my foot. And that's how people are with tap water. And I'm always just like, just give me the goddamn tap water. Lara went out and bought the Brita thing, which is pointless.
I've had so many of those mold in my refrigerator because I never use them.
Seriously, you got to toughen up your immune system. Is this
the only time I have had problem with water, you know, from the faucet is after I saw Cabin Fever.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie?
No, I have not.
Oh, don't ever see it if you ever want to enjoy a glass of water again.
Well,
chunks of people floating around in there.
Mount Tabor is people. So if I've been turning on the tap at my house. So the water comes from one of those Mount Tabor things and then goes through a thing. Presumably they clean it, right? It goes somewhere.
I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do.
You don't really care, do you? All right. Well, whatever. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Okay. So anybody driving around is wondering what's going on at the Banfield. It is a mess. The latest thing we have here is a police officer was injured and another driver killed when a car jumped the center freeway barrier onto the path of a police cruiser.
How is that even possible? Aren't those barriers?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. If you're driving fast enough, I guess you can. The suspect car was eastbound on the Banfield near 39th Avenue when it somehow went over a concrete barrier into the westbound lane, so he had to be driving pretty fast. The driver of the red car died at the scene. The officer was heading to a police memorial ceremony, and he was brought to a manual. The extent of his injury is not known. So the Banfield and everything on the east side is paralyzed because of this.
I'm trying to picture the Banfield right now, and again, aren't those the dividers that were like a 4-foot-high concrete thing?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how, even if you were at a high rate of speed...
This is a red car.
driven by a blonde woman. I don't know who is driving it, but I... So, it doesn't seem like you would have to, A, be going really fast, and
they had
B,
to be going very fast.
You would have to be going at some bizarre...
Or talking on a cell phone.
Didn't it seem like you'd have to be going at some weird angle? Yep. Because you can't jump over that. You'd have to break through it. There is no jumping over that barrier. I don't know. I don't know if anybody's seen footage or if anybody... Hey, if you're out there on the Banfield and you kind of can see...
Coin 6 is out there. That's where I got this.
Really?
Yeah.
Do we have Pull It Coin News 6? We should be. They should be bringing this news home to us right now.
Well, there's another creepy story about that guy who drove off the Markham Bridge and they kept, and his truck is just...
Oh, did they ever dive for the body there?
No, they never found anything yet.
Really? No.
The guy's missing, though.
Oh. That's not as bad as this
Wait,
story right
Wait till the
right
ships
here.
Come in for the Rose Festival.
None of them are as bad as this story. Who wants to hear the worst headline ever?
I do right now.
Sarah?
Yes.
Immediately. There's no need to tease it. We're ready for it right
it's
now.
It's the worst headline of the day.
That's okay.
Actually, I've got two. Would you rather ramp up to the terrible one or start with the terrible one and then have the one that's less awful afterward?
I'd say ramp up. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, and save the less horrible one for later when everyone forgets.
Well, I'll just start with this one. Boat with 70 children aboard hits whale. Water filled with blood, say witnesses. The whale is unharmed, by the way.
Mm. Oh.
Mostly. That's not as bad as this. Worst story of the day. Just going to read the headline. Child's hand severed at chocolate factory. There you go. Right there.
I think the whale one was worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Okay, I have a whole batch of things to be afraid of. So here we go. Members of the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps do not believe the president will actually deploy the National Guard troops on the U.S.-Mexican border, as he has promised to do tonight. The National Executive Director of these vigilantes, whose name is Al Garza, says he'll believe it when he sees it.
I honestly don't believe that this,
not only
this administration, but our governor as well, are prepared to engage with military, National Guard, anything. I don't really believe they're going to address the issue. I think they're just playing political games.
And who is this?
That's the director of the Minutemen.
Okay.
He's the boss.
Can't you just, that thing where you just sort of call yourself that? It's just sort of, it's like being a colonel in the South. It's sort of an honorary thing, right?
Okay. Or it's like Jesse Jackson. Just, what is he the president of?
I have no idea.
He always works.
I have no idea what he's the president of. I have no idea what church he's from. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then we have a Democratic Senator Joe Biden, who says we should move on and pass this immigration bill. He's skeptical about putting troops on the border.
You have to understand, we have stretched these men and women so thin because of the bad mistakes done by the civilians in the military here, I wonder how they're going to be able to do it.
All right. We shouldn't start talking about this, especially because we don't have anybody from CNN. If we had somebody, this is all Clyde's fault. It's all the fault of Clyde. Because Clyde is in our 12:30 slot, which is normally where we would have all the CNN people have been bumped one half hour because of Clyde Lewis, and so now we have Roop at like 2 and like McCarthy at 1:30. And the upshot of this is we did not get Lisa Goddard about these troops on the border thing, which does sort of fascinate me in a strange way because I'm unclear about what they're doing. I guess I do have a news person. So what is it? I don't understand. Who is doing what, where, when?
Nobody is doing a thing at the moment.
No, but I mean in theory.
In theory, they're going to put troops along the border.
The border's like 9,000 miles across, isn't it?
Only where the numbers show that the president is very popular.
So only where he really needs, only where the gerrymandering is the strongest.
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. Another idea that'll not work, that'll only serve the delusion. This is the wrong time to be in the National Guard, I will tell you that. Anybody that is at free college, sure, how can I lose? Man, every single day that I live under this administration, I am never more glad than when those guys came through my high school, like trolling for idiotic 18-year-olds who take a lot of metal shop classes and sniff paint thinner, looking for guys. Would you like to... Hey, who wants to come and get a free T-shirt? You know, and a whole bunch of guys with like necklaces made out of bottle caps and homemade tattoos that they've done in the dark while listening to Kiss records. Those are all the guys who are the National Guard right now. And I am very, very glad with every day that I live that I am not one of those guys.
Meanwhile, it's not these illegal aliens that are messing up America, says Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. Don't forget about the gays.
Marriage is under attack in this country. and we've seen activist judges overturning state by state law where state legislatures have passed laws defining marriage between a man and a woman, and that's it.
Yeah, it's under attack. Legions of gays with rocket-propelled grenades are storming courthouses everywhere.
No, no, it's not illegal aliens, the gays, says Sergeant Jim Borner of Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. It's alligators.
We just encourage people to use common sense. They were here long before the people were here, and they're a fact of life in Florida. Normally, they're not very problematic. When they become a nuisance, we contact the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and when necessary, they bring a licensed trapper in.
I'm pretty sure... Oh, is that in Florida, by the way?
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry, that was all my... I'm pretty sure, by the way, that it's not the alligators that are becoming the nuisance. I think it's the people who are becoming the nuisance. And when people start to become a nuisance, the planet has a pretty spiffy way of letting us know that. It just starts killing people.
I'm going to dangle my legs into the water. Come and get me.
Seriously, that idiot woman. I mean, look, I'm sure she was a nice person, but come on. I was watching MSNBC this morning, as is my wont occasionally. And they showed... Whatever, blah, 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 news, blonde,
two
perking
human arms
newscaster.
Were found inside this 9-foot-long, 6-inch alligator's belly.
Look, I mean, look, score one for nature is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The best part about this story, by which I mean the most frightening part, is that the alligator, quote, stalked her on land before killing her.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not rejoicing.
Drag her body into a canal.
I'm not rejoicing at the death of a human being. All I'm saying is this, is that... Like, I'm watching the news this morning, and, being a newscaster in Florida's got to be interesting, because you just get sent out to film the damnedest things.
We never saw Richard Nunn again after he left.
No, what is this? Well, it's a 5-year-old who's, taking his class hostage. Well, what about this? Well, it's a woman living in, mounds of newspapers dating from the 30s. What about this? It's a swamp full of alligators. They send the news guy out this morning, and he picks... Probably not at random, but I doubt that they stocked the set with alligators specifically for this shot. So they have the woman saying, as you can see behind me, there's a marsh. And then the guy pans over to the marsh, and there's like 40 alligators just hanging out in there. I mean, alligators, they're huge, and they have huge teeth, and they kill people, and that's what they do. So... It seems like it's just a matter of a simple flow chart in your head. Here's a big thing filled with alligators. Alligators have gigantic, crushing, powerful jaws. I am tasty and good with ketchup. Should I dangle my feet into this water? Should I not dangle my feet into this water? Now, even like a cursory examination of those two options would indicate... You should jog somewhere else. Be like the idiot old people. Go walk inside a mall with color-coordinated weights on your wrists and ankles. You dangle your feet in a thing that's filled with alligators. They dig out your arms a few days later. That's kind of how it works. Poor alligator got taken out and killed. All it's doing is eating some idiot woman that decided to dangle a bunch of fleshy nubs into the water. You know what I'm talking about. What? It's true. You know it's true, and you know that everybody in Florida probably feels the same way. Do not taunt Happy Fun Ball. Do not dangle your feet in front of alligators. This is just one step removed from those idiots that are always, throwing things at the bears at the San Diego Zoo. And then they're like, no, I got to retrieve my wallet. Wham! And then, one sleeve too many. You know what I mean? It's screw with nature. It'll screw you right back. I'm sorry. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, not to be outdone by alligators eating people, illegal aliens taking your jobs, or gays taking your children. Folks in... Augusta, Georgia, have shot a 250-pound black bear.
Went in, was able to make a real good, easy shot, and the bear tried to exit the area, but we had animal control and other personnel were stationed at the appropriate points to where he turned and went back into the woods, and in a few short minutes he decided it was time to lay down and take a nap.
I don't understand. Why are they catching the bear? Just 'cause?
Just because it's loose.
Randomly
it could eat
bear?
Somebody.
Because they're rednecks. It's what they do.
No, Americans kill things that they don't understand.
Really, it's true. That really is the...
What is the first impulse of something irregular going on here? Grab a gun and kill it.
Beat it with a hammer. he used a word we didn't understand. Throw rocks at him.
He's not like us.
What was that Minuteman said to Ed McCarthy? This country's being taken over by people who aren't like me. So... There you go. Presumably people with an IQ that surpasses that of room temperature. Do you see that? Speaking of native... See, here's the thing. Here's why I don't care about the environment. It's not... there are many reasons. I've said before in the past that the biggest reason I don't care about the environment is because I don't have children. I don't have children. Not going to have children. Going to be dead. I'll probably be dead sooner rather than later. I don't care about the rest of you. I don't care about anybody comes after me. I don't care about future generations. I don't care about the people who are going to live left to live in the world of tomorrow.
Therefore, you'll live the longest after everyone's gone, by saying this. I hope you know what's going to happen.
I'll be like that guy in 28 days later, just waking up in the hospital. Where are they? Hello? But I don't... Doesn't matter to me. I don't care about the environment, not one whit. And here's the other reason I don't care about the environment. Because as a great man once said, the Earth is not fragile. And as soon as we become a big enough problem, the Earth will just flick us off like a bad case of head lice. That's it, man. The world will have no problem getting rid of us. The reason I'm saying this is not only A, because we're apparently terrified of, what is it, alligators and bears and gays?
Uh-huh. And illegal aliens.
And illegal aliens. I'd skip the oh my.
I know,
comment.
But you have to do it.
Alligators and bears and gays.
Oh my.
Oh my. But also because did you read that story about that grizzly polar bear hybrid that they found?
No, please tell us more.
I read it. It was in Yahoo this morning. It's not a wacky kooky conspiracy story. It's a read that the National Geographic was talking about it because it's one of those things that they've talked about for years about like could it exist? Like could there be? A bear that was, you know, like, could a polar bear and a grizzly bear ever breed? And if so, blah, 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 blah. Because they tried to do it in captivity, I think, just to amuse themselves and everyone able to do it. But a guy, like, killed one because it looked different.
Yep.
It is like a life last week. And he's like, look at this weird bear. And they came out and they found it's like half grizzly, half polar bear. And they were noting that the great thing about that is, from my point of view, is that because it's half polar bear, half grizzly, it can hunt in almost any area. Which means that places that where humans were normally safe because the bear was either too hot or too cold, this bear can go anywhere. Doesn't matter. It's coming for your children. It's coming for you. So there you go. So bow your head and weep before the mighty fist of nature. Oh, for the love of... I was in the middle of a rant. Do people not understand that I'm doing a radio program here? Do you get this, too? I know you get the Kelly Clarkson thing that goes off, like, five times a day.
Yeah, one of my friends in particular, I've been friends with her for, like, 4 years, and she still calls every time that she wants to talk to me
because
in the middle of the show.
They don't grasp the whole, I'm doing a thing. Well, whatever. Anyway, the point is, you're all going to die. Okay, let's do,
We've run out of things for people to fear. I think that just about does it for now.
Well, all right. We'll recap today's fear later on. Here's what's coming up. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Ed McCarthy will be here to talk about this alligator, thing. What else? We'll talk, I've got all this email about this, the Trojan nuclear facility. What else? Jim Roop will be here. We'll talk about the... Oh, and we got it in the tabloid wrap-up. I've got the Inquirer right here, and it's fantastic, by the way. Rolling Stones, top five. Coming up, top five Rolling Stones guitar intros. What else? I guess that Peter Carlin wrapping up The Sopranos. More Tim Riley at the City Desk. All that. It's a massive amount of show. It's really an awe-inspiring amount of program today. Stay there. The Rick Emerson Show continues. 503-733-2970. This is AM 970 Solid State Radio.